Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Paul Myers, and I'm the Director of Research and Development at the Readiness and Emergency Management for Schools Technical Assistance Center, also known as the REMS TA Center. The TA Center is administered by the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Safe and Healthy Students. We support schools, school districts, and institutions of higher education with their community partners in the development of high-quality emergency operations plans, or EOPs, and comprehensive emergency management planning efforts. I would like to welcome you all to the podcast, Earthquake Exercises for Schools. This podcast will present information that schools and districts may want to consider when developing or implementing earthquake-related exercises. To provide some context, a core planning team at a school or district may identify that earthquakes are a hazard that needs to be addressed in an EOP as they progress through the six-step planning process. If an EOP or parts of an EOP are being written or reviewed, goals can be created that identify desired outcomes for before, during, and after an earthquake, and objectives can be established that are specific and measurable actions to achieve those goals. Courses of action are then developed to accomplish those objectives. After the EOP is developed and approved, schools can implement the activities described in the EOP, including conducting exercises, such as drills in response to an earthquake. More information on the six-step planning process can be found on the TA Center's website. I'm joined today by Mark Benthian. Mark, Director for Communication, Education, and Outreach for the Southern California Earthquake Center at USC, works to increase awareness, reduce losses, and save lives. Mark is also the Executive Director of the Earthquake Country Alliance, a public-private partnership that organizes the annual Great California Shakeout Earthquake Drill. He was recognized as a White House Champion of Change for expanding shakeout participation worldwide. As of 2015, that's 43 million people in 70 countries. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be with you.
To kick things off, Mark, let's discuss America's Preparathon and Great Shakeout Earthquake Drills. The Preparathon is a grassroots campaign for action to increase community preparedness and resilience, which is supported by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. A major partner activity of Preparathon are Great Shakeout Earthquake Drills, which are an annual opportunity for people in schools, homes, and organizations to practice what to do during earthquakes and to improve preparedness. The TA Center has taken an active role in both initiatives through activities such as hosting Twitter chats and facilitating dialogue in our community of practice. Mark, could you please tell us a little bit more about Preparathon and Shakeout and how schools can get involved?
Sure, Paul. Well, both of these are just national programs where people can take an action and be included in a kind of a national assessment of how many people are getting prepared and how many people are taking action for a number of hazards. Preparathon is really for kind of all hazards. Shakeout is specific to earthquakes. Shakeout started in 2008 in California and was meant to be a one-time event, but expanded with interest from other states and even other countries to where we are now. And Preparathon started, I believe, in 2011, 2012, and has been also increasing in its participation. And Shakeout participation also then is included into the global, or the national total, rather, of people participating in Preparathon activities, which might be for a community group organizing a preparedness fair. It might be a drill for a tornado. It might be all sorts of activities. In fact, there are kind of 10 ways. If you go to the Preparathon website at ready.gov/prepare, you can learn all about the ways that your actions for preparedness can be kind of that can be included. There's also a lot of information on many hazards, details about why those hazards occur and what to do to prepare for them and types of actions that you can do. Similarly, at shakeout.org, you can access your local shakeout drill, which might be for your state or a multiple state region, as we have in the central U.S. and eastern U.S. And you can find customized resources for your region's shakeout drill, how to participate, what to do during an earthquake, which we call drop, cover, and hold on.
Great, thank you. So it sounds like a lot of the country is participating in Preparathon and the shakeout. You also mentioned there's regional exercises. So taking this back down to the local level, how can schools or districts work with their local community to be better prepared for an earthquake?
Well, it's always important to know your partners, know your neighbors, to make sure that what your plans are not going to be impacted by your neighboring organization's emergency post-earthquake or other disaster plans, and that you involve your first responders, your neighborhood businesses in a coordinated effort to be better prepared. There are resources available from the community that might be able to assist a school. And the school may be called upon to be perhaps even a shelter location. And that usually gets worked out in advance. But there are these relationships. And you have parents who are going to be wanting to come to pick up their children from schools that may have to get off work and may have obligations there as well. So just working with the entire community to understand what the policies are related to disasters and what is expected of both the teachers, as well as the parents, as well as those in the community. We encourage in the shakeout earthquake drills, we encourage multiple organization drills. So you really can start to go through the process together and learn from each other.
Thank you. So you mentioned that it's important to know about your neighborhood and community responses. And you also touched on how parents and others may come to schools after an emergency. So I was wondering, could you maybe just talk about a little bit about how is individual, family, school, and community preparedness for earthquakes related?
Well, it's very important that the plans that each entity has are known by the others. And that may include that the level of preparedness of each group of families, of schools, of community organizations is also discussed together too. So people understand the limitations as well as the opportunities that exist working together. One aspect that is always important to consider is when a teacher at a school who in most places is required to stay there and at the school until all the children have been picked up by the appropriate people, parents or guardians or others who have approval to do so. Those teachers may have their own concerns, of course, for a big earthquake has just happened or other disasters, and they're looking at, I need to get home to take care of my own family, to know what's happened at my house. Is there been a lot of damage, or is there a lot of glass all over the floors, and all these issues that can happen. And what that means is the better prepared you are and knowing how to secure things so they won't fall in an earthquake, communication plans that you have with your family, all these factors are important for being able to stay where you are as an emergency service worker, as a teacher after a disaster. The more you can do to be prepared at home, the less you have to worry about. You can perhaps stay in your professional responsibility. The other way around is, of course, important that if you're at home and you're maybe it's a weekend and the earthquake happens and you've prepared the school so that you're not too worried about, I don't know, a chemistry lab and having spills and all those things that or your own classroom, just what you have to deal with. And so being prepared, having plans, having secured things so they won't fall in the case of an earthquake, these are factors which will make the immediate response and kind of the even begin the recovery faster.
Thank you. In your last response, you talked a little bit about different activities to help get better prepared for earthquakes. Moving back to a focus on schools, what type of earthquake exercises do you recommend schools or districts conduct?
Well, of course, the Great Shakeout Earthquake Drill is actually the largest group of participants are schools in Shakeout. And it's about 3/4 of the participants worldwide are teachers, staff, and students in schools, in K-12 schools. And in some places, those drills are required, the drop, cover, and hold on drills. And often the school will include with that an evacuation to a field or such so they can be accountable for everybody being okay and doing that as part of their exercise. So all that information you can learn about at shakeout.org/schools about how to have a drill if you haven't had one before of that type. It's also, you can have seminars with your local community at your school so that you can have these discussions. You can have tabletop exercises among school officials, either maybe at the district level, along with leadership from schools. So there's many different types of activities that can be designed to be learning experiences, to practice what you need to do during a situation, and to share with each other.
Thank you. So I'd like to follow up on something you also just mentioned. So you mentioned that a lot of schools worldwide participate in the Shakeout, which is great. And that's in a variety of formats, such as seminars and tabletop exercises. So my question now is, in your experience, what is one area that many schools need to improve on when conducting earthquake exercises?
Well, one issue that can happen is you have earthquake drills, and really many types of drills are often kind of practiced with the ideal situation of during class time, the students have been told there's going to be a drill, perhaps. They know what they need to do, and they're at their desks. So doing drop, cover, hold on, just drop to the ground so that you're not knocked down, get on your hands and knees, cover your head and neck. If you can get under a desk or table, do so, and then hold on to it to protect you from things falling. That's really easy to do in a classroom and is often what is done. What's also important is to have your drill at times that are less convenient, where maybe in passing periods, at recess, during lunch, and perhaps even during drop-off and pick-up times where you're going to have families involved in buses and other aspects. Those are really great ways of adding details, maybe even doing something different each year, having your drill at a different time. It's also really important that schools are not allowed, well, let's just say that the teachers participate as well with the drills, that it's not walking around, making sure every child is down on the ground, but that the teacher also demonstrates what they would do during an earthquake. That's going to be a more realistic situation. Not only the teacher, but any other volunteers in the room, parents that might be there, really everyone participating. And that that really is taken all the way through to the kind of the, if students are evacuated to a common area, that whole exercise is considered to be important. That's not in that the exercise is conducted as if the earthquake is really happening and right after the earthquake.
Thank you. So you've actually given us quite a lot to think about, including suggestions on where to go for more information. In closing, my final question is really, what are the three things a school can do right now to prepare for earthquakes?
Well, as I mentioned, really getting together with your community partners to prepare together can be as simple as a small meeting or a seminar or workshop. Participating in the Great Shakeout Earthquake Drills, or if you like, for other types of hazards, learning more at ready.gov/prepare for Preparathon. For ShakeOut, go and register your school or district to participate at ShakeOut.org. You'll be counted and listed among the thousands of schools across the country. And then always just be reviewing your emergency plans, making sure that you're factoring in the potential for earthquakes. Earthquakes may not be common where you are, but they can happen, and damaging earthquakes can happen in 35 states. And it's important to practice what to do, because you may not have them where you live or work or where your school is, but your students or teachers or you may travel one day to somewhere where an earthquake may occur, and having practiced what to do will make it more likely that you'll be safe.
Mark, thank you for joining us today and for your comments. To reach Mark's team, you can email info@shakeout.org. As Mark pointed out, you can also learn more about the ShakeOuts and earthquake preparedness for schools and some of the other topics discussed in today's podcast by visiting the TA Center's website at http://rems.ed.gov. The website provides resources such as a community of practice, which includes a forum on exercises and drills. You can also contact the TA Center for other questions or requests for technical assistance at info@remstacenter.org or through the toll-free number 1-855-781-REMS or 7367. The TA Center's hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. This concludes today's podcast. Again, thank you for joining us today.